Our first scripture reading is found in the Old Testament, Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its seasons, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Our New Testament is found from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked him, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another as to who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taken in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, you probably should have lifted me up in prayer earlier, Dave, because I stand up here realizing I forgot to do a joke this week. And I know you all look forward to them because they are just such side splitters. So I will give you two next week. In 1980, which is more years ago than I even like to think, moviegoers were introduced to the New York City High School of Performing Arts in the movie Fame. And the film followed a group of young people from their freshman audition to their graduation. And in addition to all of their emotional stress and struggles of high school, they had to discover whether or not they had the talent and the discipline to become actual performing stars. And one of the many stirring songs from the movie included these lyrics: "I sing the body electric, I celebrate the me yet to come. I toast to my own reunion when I become one with the sun. And I'll look back on Venus, I'll look back on Mars, and I'll burn with the fire of 10 million stars. And in time, we will all be stars." And that's the dream of each of these young people, to become one with the sun, to burn brightly in the heavens, to become a star. And the movie was so successful that it went on to become a very successful and long-running television series. Well, nowadays, we tune into America's Got Talent, or even Britain's Got Talent. All have the same dream as the kids in Fame. They want to be stars. And believe it or not, it has been 15 years since a 48-year woman with frizzy brown hair and bushy eyebrows and a frumpy outfit stood before the judges on Britain's Got Talent, saying that she wanted to become as famous as British singer-actress Elaine Page. And Judge Simon Cowell, who is not known for his sweetness and encouragement, openly smirked mockingly, judging her on her looks. But then she opened her mouth, and she sang, "I dreamed a dream," from the Phantom of the Opera, and wiped that smug look right off of his face. She ended up winning the competition that year and has had a good career as a singer around the world. Now, currently, and I know you are all abuzz about this, we have a similar situation playing out on America's Got Talent. During the auditions, we were introduced to Richard Goodall, a quiet, unassuming janitor from Terre Haute. He blew the judges and the audience away, receiving a golden buzzer from Judge Heidi Klum that put him straight through to the semifinals. Well, last week he sang in the finals, and I know a lot of people are going to be tuning in this Tuesday night to see if he wins. I'm definitely rooting for him. He deserves to shine as brightly as a star. Well, Jesus encounters the same longing for glory when, according to Mark 9, he's passing through the region of Galilee with his disciples. And he doesn't feel it himself, but he sees it in his followers. Jesus, he's avoiding the spotlight in a way that would be unthinkable to those who are seeking fame. And instead of seeking attention, he lies low, using his undercover time to teach his disciples that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Well, the disciples, they just don't get it. I mean, at this point, they are still the disciples. They don't understand what Jesus is saying, and they're even afraid to ask him. I mean, this talk of betrayal and death and rising again, it just doesn't fit their idea of a good career plan. And it's important to remember that this chapter of Mark begins with the Transfiguration, that glorious mountaintop experience in which Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God. And Mark tells us that Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, and such as no one had ever seen before, and you couldn't bleach them that white. And Matthew adds that his face shone like the sun. And he enters into a conversation with Elijah and Moses, the two superstars of the Old Testament. And God's voice booms out of a cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And Peter, James, and John are shocked. They're terrified, but totally impressed by this display of divine power. Jesus appears to be a rising star, one who will burn with the fire of 10 million stars. At least that's what the disciples think. But Jesus has another idea. The Son of Man is to be betrayed, killed, and rise again. He predicts that his fire will be snuffed out completely before it is rekindled by God. And the disciples continue to follow Jesus along the road to the town of Capernaum. And when they reach their destination, he asks them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they were silent because they had been sparring with one another about who among them was the greatest. They were jockeying for a place where they could shine and be stars. And then Jesus has a very difficult lesson to teach them. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. To be first, you must be last. To be a star, you must be a servant. And to illustrate this countercultural career advice, Jesus takes a little child in his arms and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." I bet the jaws of the disciples hit the floor on that one. Because in the first century, a child is a non-person, a non-entity, a nobody. There is no reason for a little child to be close to a great teacher such as Jesus or in the middle of a group of men. Children are to stay with the women and keep themselves out of the way until they grow up, and if they are male, can start exercising some adult responsibilities with the other men. What Jesus is saying is, when you welcome a nobody, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome God. So if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, then you had better get used to being a child-welcoming servant of all people. And that's what it means to be one with the Son of God. Jesus is calling us to flip our usual attitudes toward greatness and honor and fame, turn them completely upside down. Our normal perspective is to look at life from the top down, giving our greatest attention to the people who have competed with one another and come out on top. I mean, we do this with dancers and singers and actors and artists, as well as with politicians and business leaders. We are drawn to their fame and are impressed by their talents and their accomplishments. But Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Change that perspective. Look at life from the bottom up and give your greatest attention to the people who have no fame. Focus on children, on single mothers, on cab drivers or dishwashers, chambermaids, the working poor, on the homeless. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, says Jesus, and whoever welcomes me welcomes God. Our challenge is not to burn with the fire of 10 million stars. Instead, it is to act in such a way that we are one with the Son of God. And we do this whenever we treat people with the dignity they deserve, as people who are made in God's image. To serve others is to serve Jesus. And to welcome such a sibling is to welcome the God who sent Jesus into the world. This bottom-up approach to greatness will never earn us fame or put us in the spotlight, but it will move us closer to the light of God's eternal kingdom. And when the curtain rises in that kingdom, we'll be surprised by who we will see on stage. The faithful servants of this world, people who served God and neighbor without ever drawing attention to themselves. And who knows? Maybe there will be a place on that stage for us as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.